Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's time to talk sports, and with me in the studio is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hello there, Bill.
Hi, Magna.
Okay, so let's start with basketball, because the Celts are playing the 76ers tonight, and if they win, they advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. And they've got a bit of a pad here, right? 3-1 over the 76ers already?
Yeah, but you never want to think of it that way.
Oh.
I mean, it's sitting up there, you know, like a great big fat pitch. Hit it this time. Don't wait. don't wait till it's 3-2 or 3-3.
Okay, that fair enough. Now, they were on a winning streak until they, well, to your point, until they lost on Monday, right?
Right.
103-92. Here's head coach Brad Stevens at a press conference afterwards talking about the Sixers.
I thought they were very physical. I thought they were very tough. They crushed us on the glass. We didn't obviously run great offense with the turnovers and everything else. So that run was inevitable if we didn't change how we were playing.
I mean, so was that an off day for the Celts, or was it really Sixers? Right?
I think it's very interesting that he said that run was inevitable. The 76ers have had a very good season. They had a stretch at the end of the regular season where they looked unbeatable. They were, in fact, unbeatable. And so you couldn't really understand how they could play as badly as they did at the ends of the games, the three games that the Celtics won at the beginning of this series. They threw the ball away. They lost track of the clock. They took absolutely hideous shots. They looked like they could have won a couple of those games, and they simply kind of undermined their own best efforts. I think I'm at the risk of jinxing the Celtics tonight, I'm going to go with the Celtics. I think some of the Sixers in the fourth game, the game that the Sixers won, some of them had the game of their lives. I think the Celtics match up pretty well against them. I think Brad Stevens is a terrific coach. He's going to understand absolutely what happened in game four, and they'll be all right.
Okay, so you're calling it for the Celts, but also saying better get it over with.
Yeah, this is a good team. I mean, if you let them off the mat, you know.
You never know.
Exactly.
All right, so let's just talk for a second before we move on to other things entirely. Let's talk about the Bruins, because it was a weekend of disappointment for hockey fans. They're out of the playoffs, losing to Tampa Bay on Friday and again on Saturday. Final score of that game, 3-1. So what really sealed their fate?
I think part of what sealed their fate was the sense that they were going to continue to play as well as they have at some points this season, and they kind of forgot that they had to really work hard not to play as badly as they have at some points this season. It's been a kind of an inconsistent run. There are a lot of people who think maybe they need to have a goalkeeper who's a little more consistent than Tuukka Rask. I don't want to go too deep into that controversy, because fists will fly and people are pretty passionate on both sides of that one. I think they need a little better defense. But to be honest, I haven't paid as much attention to the Bruins as I should be, because all of my hockey attention has been on the Vegas Golden Knights, who show every possibility of winning the Stanley Cup in their very first season of existence.
Wow.
An expansion team winning the Stanley Cup. It would be like the 1962 Mets winning the World Series. And they were arguably the worst team ever in baseball. So, I mean, this is just an incredible story. And it's gotten more astonishing with each step that the Vegas Golden Knights have taken.
Wow. Okay. Well, maybe we'll talk to you about that
If they keep it up, everybody will be talking about it.
All right. So I want to turn to something completely different here. It's a kind of a social media story, but really a history story, and it has to do with Jack Johnson. Now, for folks who don't recognize that name, he was the first African-American heavyweight boxing champion back in 1908.
Mm-hmm.
And just a couple of years after that, though, he was convicted by an all-white jury for transporting a white woman who was his girlfriend across state lines for, quote, in the language of 1908, immoral purposes. Well, now there's been this years-long campaign to clear Johnson's name. It's being led by his great-great-niece, Linda Haywood, and she was asked in an interview in 2016 what difference a pardon for her ancestor would make decades after his death, and here's what she said.
I'll tell you, it makes a difference because that's my family member. That's my great-great-uncle, my maternal great-great-uncle. And it matters to us because we are his family. And no family wants to have shame placed upon them for something that they did not do.
Now, the social media part in here comes because President Donald Trump tweeted last month that he is considering a full pardon for Jack Johnson. He hasn't said anything about it since, but your take, Bill.
He didn't say, if you forget what Mr. Cohen did on my behalf, I promise to pardon Jack Johnson, something like that. This would be a case of Donald Trump doing the right thing. Jack Johnson was a victim of fierce, violent prejudice of his time. He probably never would have been arrested if he hadn't been heavyweight champion. There were many, many people who felt that it was completely inappropriate to have a black man be the heavyweight champion of the world. Many great black fighters of that time were prevented from fighting for a title because they were black. And Johnson was cheerfully exuberant about his whole life. He drove big cars. He made a lot of noise. He ate big. He lived big. And he was proud to do it. And he really made a lot of white folks angry. And I think that's the story of why he got eventually sent to prison. He ran off. He left the country.
He had to flee. He fled the country.
Fled the country after he was convicted, but eventually did serve time. And there's no question. He was a victim of hideous racial prejudice. And if Trump pardons him, good on Trump.
Yeah. I mean, there have only, as far as we can count, only two posthumous pardons have ever been granted by presidents. And as I said before, the President Trump did tweet this, but he hasn't said anything since. So we shall see. I've got the tweet here. It says, this is from the president on April 21st. He says, Sylvester Stallone.
He never would have heard of Jack Johnson if Sylvester Stallone hadn't called him. His old pal Sly called him, and then they're off to the races.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe Mr. Stallone, call him up again.
Let's see what happens.
We just got a minute left here, Bill, and let's talk about the Sox. They're facing the Yankees this week. The Sox lost yesterday 3-2. They've got a chance at redemption tonight and tomorrow. Your quick take there.
Well, I don't know about redemption, but I will say that I'm a believer in the old baseball cliche, which is momentum is tomorrow's starting pitcher. In this case, tonight's starting pitcher, the Sox have Porcello going. He's been extraordinarily successful, won five games already this season. And Tanaka's pitching for the Yankees. He's 4-2. I say Porcello has pretty good chance of achieving something for the Red Sox, although, as I say, redemption seems to me a reach.
Okay. Well, if you can use the sports cliche about momentum being the next pitcher, I can say redemption.
You can say whatever you like.
Well, Bill,
you're the host.
Bill Littlefield, thank you for reminding me, is host of NPR's Only a Game, which airs right here on WBUR every Saturday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Bill, thank you as always.
Thank you, Meghna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.